I've already got this right here. Rick, listener party send. I'm so excited. I'm so scared. Right in Northeast Portland. Thank you. 1 minute and 18 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of March of the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed and caffeine-filled studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. It is Wednesday, and welcome to day 12, my friend. It's 503-733-2970. I don't even know who the guy is who sent us the Tim Riley's My Hero song. It's like that guy that, where's that other song? Remember that horrible, I'm sorry, that wonderful, that rap song that I played a while back that was... The KOTK rap song that that guy sent us a long time ago, talking to myself. Nobody even knows. Some guy sent me some rap song a couple years ago. I found it a while back. It was in my basement. I played it. I don't even know where a lot of these came from. I don't know if this is going to be the case or not. I was talking to Susan Reynolds about this last night. We were talking about the upcoming listener party. And I wish there was some way. Maybe we can do like an audio booth. You know, a lot of museums have that. Where you go up and like you put on the... whatever you want. Like you walk through the Smithsonian. It's like a talking tree. What? A talking tree? I don't understand what you mean.
Well, they used to have a talking tree at the tree museum here. So the tree would talk. They don't have it anymore, though.
Okay. Uh-huh. Did the tree talk to everybody, Tim?
Yes, it did.
Or did it only talk to certain people?
You think I'm making this up, don't you?
I do.
The listeners will tell you otherwise.
There was a tree museum? You sound kind of nasal today.
I do.
Are you suffering from hay fever?
My allergies are coming back.
I got lots of Claritin upstairs. You can ask Sarah.
He has a whole stash. I just took some.
I'm going to go for the old-fashioned home remedies.
Whiskey. Big Daddy Rick has a whole drawer full of pharmaceuticals upstairs. You want to talk about a guy with a drawer full of pharmaceuticals? You talk to Dennis. You walk in. I don't believe that any of them are illicit in nature. I should make that very clear. I was talking to Dennis the other day, and I walk in there, and I was kind of tired. And we were out of Vizo at the time, and I didn't have anything. And I'm like, do you have anything with caffeine? And he had some drink, and I'm like, oh, there's no Vizo. What do you have? And he's like, yeah, he found some. He handed me some soda, something. And I'm like, whatever. And so I just drink it. And then he goes, hey, if you really want to make that take effect, chase it with a couple of these. And he just takes this huge bottle out of his jet drawer and just shakes a bunch of, like, pills into my hand. These will make you feel fantastic. And he said, with like a slightly maniacal look on his face covered in sweat. What?
Where was this?
In Dennis's office, upstairs.
Oh, boy.
CBS property. Why, hello. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email today, it's rick@rickemerson.com with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your what have you. To back up just a moment, Jim Riley is treating his allergies with whiskey and used to have trees talk to him. So there was a tree museum?
Yeah, it was the forestry museum.
All right, and you go in and...
What did you do? There's a talking tree.
You push a button and... Hello,
hi, I'm an elm.
Yeah, something like that.
What does it really have to say after it introduces itself? What does the tree possibly share with you?
I don't know. I've never been there. It's just hearsay.
Oh, I see. So you don't... This is not something you know firsthand.
No.
You have heard tell of a talking tree.
Yes.
At this alleged tree museum.
Yes.
All right. Well, in any event, so I would say... But something like that... It talks about sap. I don't even know if that's true or not. I'm just going to assume that it's true for comedic purposes. But I want to think, the thing like that at the listener party would be great if we had some booth where you put on the headphones that are always attached with that big metal cable. You put on a pair of headphones, you push a button, and then you get to hear exciting songs from the Rick Emerson Show archives. That's a great idea. We should get to work on that. Fantastic. All right.
Does that mean ours in this program can now be downloaded onto iPods if you can't listen to the whole program?
Why, yes, Tim Riley, that is true.
How might one go about doing that?
Well, it's easier than you might think. There's a couple now that the listeners, because we have the greatest audience ever, the people. Have been doing a lot of the podcasting for a long time. You can go to the MySpace page. I'm really not trying to use the phrase the MySpace, but I'm saying there is a MySpace page, or there's the Emerson Army page, or the whatever. You can get there from rickemerson.com. There's a bunch of listeners who've been doing podcasting, sort of a homebrew podcast, and then there is now a podcast that happens at 970.am, which is a station site. Although that podcast is done by Scotty, and so it's sort of sporadic, and it's kind of a hit or miss thing. And since he's gone this week, it's mostly miss. Less hit, more miss. So there's one on the station site, and then there's the one that the listeners do too, which, to be perfectly frank, is a little more reliable. You go to the station site. I will tell you this though: if you go to 970.am, the station site, we're trying to put more content there. You can actually hear. We have now edited down the spelling bee. You can actually now just hear the Scotty J and Lucy spelling bee face. Which the last time I checked, is now the most heavily listened to thing on the site. So you can go there. Anyway, I don't know what we were doing. It's 503-733-2970. It is Wednesday. You can also email if you like with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, your what have you. It's rick@rickemerson.com, or you can call 503-733-2970 for whatever godforsaken reason. Like Brian.
Well, most people are stuck in a traffic jam right now.
That's true, because speaking of trees, a big tree.
And being relatable.
Yes, it is relatable Wednesday. Relatable Thursday has been expanded to 2 days. It's like a CSI Miami kind of a thing.
We have a landslide closing down the westbound 26 right after the Vista Ridge Tunnel before the zoo exit. Big trees have fallen down. They're standing there scratching their heads wondering what to do next.
There's really nothing. Is it a tree? Is it a tree?
It looks like a couple of big trees.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's fantastic for me because I don't have to come. And that's if you're coming from Beaverton?
No, if you're trying to get out of town.
If you're trying to get to Beaverton. God, if you absolutely need to get to like a Michael's craft store, you are screwed. If you right now more than anything on earth need to go somewhere and have a bunch of idiots clap for you and sing happy birthday while serving you overpriced bland food, you are out of luck.
But if you want a piece of pie at Marie Callender's.
Now, can I just share a Marie Callender thought with you? And I know that that's not something you ever thought you would hear me say.
I just ate there the other day.
I never knew, and I think this makes me trashy,
sir.
I never knew that Marie Callender's was an actual restaurant. I thought it was simply a line of frozen food.
I didn't either. It's a restaurant?
Now,
that's crazy.
What came first, the restaurant or the line of frozen foodstuffs?
Oh, the restaurant. They originated in California.
I had no idea.
Marie Callender's at chicken pies were the first thing. Before any of this frozen stuff.
So there was a Marie Callender's, the restaurant, then a Marie Callender's, the frozen food.
Yes.
So the frozen food is a spin-off, not unlike the
claim... The frozen food's fairly new.
Not unlike the... Well, see, but I don't know that. I'm an idiot. Not unlike the claim jumper lasagna that Sarah brought in for me. That I'm leaving
you
here...
You have not eaten.
I'm leaving it here. It's not that I'm not... No, I haven't eaten it, but it's not like I don't want it. I'm leaving it here as backup food for that inevitable day when I forget my lunch. Next time I forget my lunch, I will not go to the Plaid Pantry. I will microwave and and eat the Claim Jumper lasagna.
But if you notice, it's too fancy for the regular food thieves.
What, the Marie Callender's?
Yeah, the lasagna that you have in there that you haven't eaten yet. Nobody else has touched it.
It hasn't been touched. And it weighs, it literally, it's like a pound and a half. It's like a pound and a half of lasagna, because that's the deal. Claim Jumper, it's really like we just threw down a bunch of dice to decide what to do in this opening segment right here. I'm realizing that now, but what do you
It all
do?
Started with trees that fell off a hillside.
Never heard of a hobbit. Now I'm just thinking about a tree beard and...
A wizard should know better!
All I know about Claim Jumper is, and I always say this, and I only know this because of Dan Savage, is that they serve that piece of cake that's a foot high. I forget what it's called, but it's some like yellow cake with chocolate frosting, and it's a foot high. And so because of that, my wife and I want to go there at some point. Just because I've heard, and it would probably disappoint at this time in my life, just because I've heard about it so much. But the thing, I guess the shtick, the hook at Claim Jumper, and I'm not knocking the joint, I've never been there, but I hear that the shtick at Claim Jumper is that the portions are just, they're just massive. They're just mad. They're unbelievably huge. Chris is asking why you would even buy an entree. I don't know. I've never been there. But Dan Savage wrote this book called Skipping Towards Gomorrah, which is an analysis of the seven deadly sins in America, which is fantastic.
We had him in here during the old show.
We had him in the studio to promote said book. And he was great. And I sucked. I was terrible. He was great, though. I should have just left the room and just let him and Kim Morgan talk. But he was talking about how he'd gone there. I think it was like he'd gone there with his dad or his boyfriend or somebody. And he'd gone and just bought this big ass. And he's like, they brought it out and he couldn't even fathom it. You hear about your eyes being bigger than your stomach. It's a big piece of cake. It's a foot high. So it seems like one of those things that you would want to fast for a couple weeks before you went there. So to reiterate what we've learned in this opening segment, there's apparently a tree that's blocking a road somewhere. Two trees now
that fell off the hillside.
Let's see. They were talking trees at one point that spoke to somebody or other about sap. Marie Callender's was a restaurant, then a line of frozen foods, and at Claim Jumper you can buy a slice of cake that's 12 inches high. Let's take some phone calls, and then we'll do introductions all around. We'll talk about what's coming up and so forth. Brian, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Why, hello there.
Hey, guys. In fear of bringing the show to a screeching halt, yeah. I used to be a tree.
What do you mean, sir?
Well, in a previous life, I used to work in radio, and, in the midst of trying to find a job, I worked at Meyer and Frank up in Toyland, where they had the talking tree near Santa Claus.
I think we're talking about different talking trees here.
That's fine. There could be more than one.
Is this sort of a Santa Land kind of thing?
It was, but I had to get into this tree that was like a half tree, and I moved the arms and talked through the mouth and moved the eyes and talked to the parents that had their kids up there in the little tram up there, and it was great fun for 8 hours a day.
Okay, let's back up. Was this in Portland?
It was in Portland. It was Meyer and Frank on the 10th floor.
Meyer and Frank downtown?
Downtown.
All right. When was this?
1997.
You were trying to get a job in radio. That clearly failed.
I was doing it in Eugene, followed my wife up to ONHSU, and ended up trying to find a job. Ended up finding one eventually, but in the meantime, had to spend a month at the Talking Tree.
All right, a Talking Tree at the Toyland at the Meyer and Frank. Now, was the tree made of foam rubber? Was it made of sponge? What was the tree costume made of, sir?
Well, it was kind of a metal netting on the inside, then it had the foam stuff on the outside.
That had to feel good. So not really. Oh. So in the event of a fire, you would have been the first to perish.
You would have been cheated.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you wear inside there? Let me ask you this: the very first day that you were dressed in the tree costume, did you foolishly go dressed like in normal street clothes, like jeans and dungarees and a t-shirt and a sweater and whatever?
You must have been there. That's exactly what I did. But after that, I was jeans and a t-shirt, and I had my Walkman, and I just talked to the kids and parents and had a great time.
What do you say when you're a tree? First of all, what kind of child has a question for a tree?
Well, you get some kids in there who are really young and really impressionable, and you can have some fun with them. Hi, I'm Mr. Tree. And blah, blah, welcome to Santa Land. But then you get some real jerks that are 13, 14 that start punching the mouth where I start talking. But the beauty thing is you take your hand and make a fist when they punch it, and they like, oh, ow! And so the tree actually can physically hurt some of the kids, which is kind of fun, too.
It suddenly becomes a tree land of horror.
Well, there's nothing better than when the parents have the little kids up on the tram, and they stand next to the tree and kind of look at it like, is it going to say anything? And it wouldn't say a word, but I can move my branches just enough to start tapping them on the shoulder. They would jump out of their skins. It was awesome.
I love the idea of this, too, that as soon as the parents' backs are turned, suddenly you become that tree from Poltergeist coming in the window to throttle Bobby. Fantastic.
Oh, it was awesome.
Well, thank you, sir. And you eventually did find employment in the radio field.
I did, and quickly got out of it, so.
Well done on all counts, my friend.
Oh, I tried.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks.
Thank you. God bless him. All right, there you go. Well, that's a great call. That's a great way to start the show, and I mean that sincerely. Why is it that the default setting, I don't know what this is, man. The default setting with babies is to stick crap in their mouth. And when I say crap, I mean anything. Doesn't matter. A spoon, a Lego, a cockroach, somebody's face, whatever it is. If you're a baby, what is that? Well, I mean, it's at some point in your head when you're a baby, I'm going to put it in my mouth. That's all it is. Well, Christian is saying it's vaguely Freudian. Maybe. I guess maybe it's because it's your most developed sense or something. But whatever. But then when you become like 9, especially if you're a boy, just the default setting is just to punch whatever it is. Doesn't matter. What is a talking tree? Bam! I wonder what will happen if I punch it. All right. Let's get a couple more of these. I swear to God, this is filling up a tree calls. Mike, hello, sir.
Hello. Okay, the talking tree from the World Forestry Center was there in the 70s and the 80s, and then it went into storage when they remodeled the Forestry Center. It has recently been acquired by the Sandy Museum, Sandy, Oregon, which will open up next month, so you, too, can go visit the talking tree.
God bless it. Fantastic. And so is it, do you know if they're gonna revamp it for a new generation? There's just going to be old crusty-ass?
No, the old crusty tree with blinking eyes and moving branches that talks about Douglas firs.
Excellent. There ought to be a Doug fir. I just caught that. Douglas fir, the tree, the club. I never realized that. The place. Do they call it?
It was named after a tree.
I never realized that.
And it's made out of wood.
Interesting. There ought to be.
I don't understand how that didn't occur to you.
There, because I'm an idiot. There ought to be a radio personality named Doug fir. Hey, Kink. Kink FM. You all, or K-Boo, one of you. There ought to be a radio personality on some hippie trippy station called Doug fir. Feel free to use that idea. There's no shame in being Doug fir. Beats being named Don Halen. All right. You know, the thing when they bring out that crusty-ass technology, it's like when you go to see the Jungle Boat ride at Disneyland now, and it's just like rocks and sticks, man. It's just like the worst. It's like watching a really badly put-together erector set with felt over it. Andy.
Andy?
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't even prepared. Hold on.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, Andy. How you doing?
How's it going?
Oh, it's fine. Wait a second, and I'll demonstrate exactly how. I can't find it. Wait, here we
go. Andy!
Thank you.
Andy!
What's up?
I was just calling because my grandpa is actually one of the guys that made the talking tree.
He made the tree, or he was the voice of the tree?
He made the tree. He worked at an art studio in Chicago that made, museum displays and whatnot.
Listen to how relatable this is. Listen to how everybody...
That's why I brought it up?
You are a savvy one, Tim Riley. You know, listen to that. Listen to how clearly we are not voice tracked from another city trying to pass ourselves off as
Portland personality. I'll be regional vice president, yes.
I'm pretty stoked to hear that they're bringing it back. I haven't seen it for a long time.
You are a pretty bad person. I'm sorry, sir?
I said I'm stoked to hear that they're bringing it back. I haven't seen it since I was 5 years old.
Yeah, see, stuff like that is either you see it and it either holds up and it's great or it's nostalgic or you see it and you kind of go, what did I find so interesting about that? So now, yeah. See, now I have to go see it. Now it's a thing I have to go see. I have no choice.
Well, you definitely should.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you, Andy.
Andy!
There you go. It's a piece of Portlandia. I got to edit that down so it's just the second Andy. The Simone's Andy doesn't really work for me there. It's just a peewee.
Andy!
All right. 503-733-2970. Have you ever seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
Yeah.
All right. Just checking.
It's funny.
All right.
I think you let me borrow it.
I don't think I own it. so that seems unlikely.
Mm.
I don't think I own it on DVD.
I thought I should watch it. Let me buy it.
And before everybody starts getting on my junk about not owning it on DVD, there's certain movies I just don't need to own because I've just seen them a billion times. And it's a fine movie, but I really don't need to. I can just hit play in my head and it just sort of spools out. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up today. Have we really done 15 minutes of tree talk? Well, it is Portland.
No, 19.
Thank you. It is Portland, Oregon. Let's see. We have what Sarah Dillon labeled the best geek watch ever. Ever. I don't even care if it's fake. Maybe it's made up.
I think it's actually real.
Doesn't matter to us. Really?
Mm-hmm.
80% of what you hear on this station is made up anyway. So, I mean, this could be the rare AM 970 story or fact that it is real. Let's see. We have Hillary news that will surprise no one and interest few and just gives me a chance to talk about her. Let's see. Dragon's Lair news. And hey, I'm drowning in sewage. I'm drowning in sewage. We'll get to that. Steve Kastenbaum will join us from apparently the kids now. And it does say the kids right here in the CNN prep sheet. It says the kids. Oh, I'm sorry. Teens. The latest trend with many teens is fence plowing, which I guess is after barn raising and post hole digging. Fence plowing is apparently, I'm quoting now, the latest trend with many teens. Steve Kastenbaum, and I'm unclear about how we feel about Steve Kastenbaum on the show. He seems like a good guy. I'm just saying I can't tell whether he likes to play our reindeer games or not.
I think he's getting a little more loosened up.
I think I agree with you. Because he was at 10-10 wins for the longest time, which is a very buttoned-down, kind of tight-ass station. So it's you give us 10 minutes, we'll give you the world. So we'll talk to him. Lisa Goddard's going to be here to talk about blah, 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 Iraq, da-da-da-da-da-da. What else? Oh, we have this guy. If you saw my webpage yesterday, this guy in Southeast who built this spaceship set, and it's just sitting on his lawn, apparently, for no real reason. He's going to be on later on, I think, 2 o'clock our day. We'll talk to him. And I think that's it. Well, I got other stuff, but that's all I'm going to tease right now. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How'd you sleep last night, I say, knowing the answer?
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I woke up at the exact same time that I did the night before. I think the only problem, I think I'm being punished for going to bed early.
Yes. Well, what time did you go to bed?
Last night I went to bed at like 11:30, the night before I went to bed at midnight.
What time do you typically get up on an average day?
Get up?
Yeah. What time do you get out of bed?
Like 8:45.
See, well, then it's way too much sleep. You shouldn't be going to bed at 11. I know you.
Well, it sucks,
you don't,
though, because
too much sleep for you.
I went to bed at 11:30, then woke up exactly at 2:15, which is what I did the other night, and then couldn't fall back asleep until it was sunny, until it was, like, light outside.
That's always, and why is it that nature does that? It's weird because, not to be all blah, blah, blah about it, but, you know, it's the dark that triggers production of melatonin, I think, and then it's melatonin naturally occurring in your brain. Melatonin, which is blah, 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 to serotonin, yada, yada, and puts you to sleep.
Like, when you can't sleep, there's something bothering you or there's something that's keeping your mind going, and that wasn't the case for me at all. I'm not stressed out about anything. I'm just laying there like,
mine was a total blank. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, perhaps. Well, that's some athletic activities before bedtime, like a softball team.
I really do want to do that.
Well, it says here you can hit as many as you like, so there's a little violence involved here.
This is like a bad Seinfeld, but Sarah's insisting that we, not insisting, you're joining the CBS softball league.
I kind of want to.
They need four to five gals.
Does it say gals, really?
It says gals.
Skirts. Four to five dames.
And it says you can bat or hit as many as you like.
What kind of softball
with aluminum bat if you want it?
Well, I'm looking for an extracurricular activity.
And I don't think you can sleep early.
All right. It's just, if by sleep early you mean pass out drunkenly. That's all it is. It's radio people. It's just an excuse to go somewhere.
Radio and TV people.
Oh, this is fantastic. Who can turn down spending time with TV people? They're all just fun.
I think it sounds really amusing.
They need extra money to buy a team bat, and they also must provide their own game balls.
It's like a $50 billion company. We need money to buy a bat.
I have to pay $50 to join?
Yes. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pay $50 to join.
Well, not just the gals. The guys do, too.
That's fantastic. Excellent. And you know it's just going to be you and a bunch of salespeople. That's it. It's going to be you with like 9
AEs. I wonder if I can get a breakout of the softball team.
What?
Or a breakdown. I wonder if I can get a list of who's on the softball team.
No, you want a roster.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, not, I'll tell you who's. I'll tell you. It's not going to have my name on it, and I'm guessing it's not going to have Tim's name on it. Scotty will probably play on it, though. I'll guarantee you that right now. He's gone this week, but I will guarantee freaking to you that Scotty J will want to be on the softball team. So
he's the last that you can sign up.
Well, and he's going to miss out. You know he's going to be legitimately angry about it, too. He will curse the day that he missed being on the CBS. Is this just CBS radio?
Well, it's CBS radio, but we play, like, Entercom and all kinds of, like,
Rare
different
channel.
News organizations. Yep.
Who would you possibly play? Batboy 5000? The Auto Run XJ9? There will be... When you play... Attention, cheap radio joke ahead. When you play the people at Clear Channel, do you just play a guy in Phoenix and he pretends that he's here hitting the ball? See, that's not even really all that funny, but if you're in radio, it's hilarious. All right, Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
It's a very busy news day. First, up front, a landslide has closed down the westbound 26 right after the Vista Ridge Tunnel and right at the zoo entrance. So don't ask me what people approaching that, did they have to turn around and go back the same way with trees fell?
There's no turning around there, though.
Oh, big trees fell across there and they're trying to figure out how to move them. And it's closed. It's every Oregonian's greatest fear, and it happened yesterday, pinned in a car by a logging truck.
Oh, it hurt.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel that pain? Here's more pain. A Fox 12 cameraman, and we're not trying to make fun of them because they're big fans over there. A Fox 12 cameraman gets smacked around by a Vancouver bully who's smacked back by a Good Samaritan, and it took a while to bring this guy down.
Did they get it on film?
They showed the guy's scars, the cameraman's scars.
All right. This isn't anybody we know, is it?
I
mean, we like those guys in
right,
general.
They're big fans of the show.
Yeah,
especially Sarah X. Dillon.
Yeah, we like the guys at Fox 12. I like the people at Fox in general because they helped lower the bar for what was acceptable on television many years ago, and for that I'm forever grateful.
No, I mean, I love their late news. It scares you to death before bedtime. People are molesting your children while you're out eating poison food.
You know, I really do like Andy Carson, though. He's a funny guy.
Are you? Andy? I'm sorry. It's stupid. Andy Carson is kind of funny.
I went out for drinks with him one time when Jen Lane, because we were judging some, like, martini contest or something. He's hilarious.
No, he's
I like the guy that sits in the helicopter that doesn't go off the ground.
And I do like the fact, and you're totally right about this. Are your children going to be devoured by silverfish?
Yeah.
Join us tonight at 11. And it's always just something retarded. It's always something that's never occurred. Will woodchucks eat your entrails while you sleep? Just things that will never, ever happen to you.
Right.
But that they love terrifying you with anyway.
They do it well every night.
I don't have the
you
problem.
Give them credit.
It's true. I don't have the problem with Fox. I don't even really have the problem with Fox News and anybody else has, because I gave up the idea that the news was somehow fair or balanced or legitimate or genuine or real so long ago. I was never, 15 years ago, I gave up the illusion that the news was there to inform me in any way. So really, they're just there to be insane and terrifying.
And they're terrific. The rest of the channel is just, you know, news for your grandmother.
No, it really is true. Oh, Ray is by the landslide. Ray, hello, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
What's up? Where are you at, my friend?
Well, I've gone past the slide. I had to alter my route to get to Beaverton for some jobs out there.
Uh-huh.
And the freeways are really, they're nicely blocked off. So everything is not a problem. However, the trees aren't the real issue. It's the tons and tons of rocks that are covering the lane.
Now, this is the 26 headed to Beaverton.
Correct.
About the zoo exit?
It's, maybe 3,000 feet toward the tunnel. So it's, you know, it's right where the Jefferson Street merges
freeway. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah,
that backs up all the way into downtown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've
been
having
bets. Oh, that's affecting me.
Oh, yeah, I mean, we've had bets about when this... I drive by it quite frequently, and it's like, it's been dribbling rocks for months.
Oh.
So everybody knows it's been ready to go.
Before we say this, did this happen on top of a car?
No, not that I can
tell. Barely missed an ambulance. How did it not... Well, I guess it's because it was morning and not evening. That's the only way it missed a car. If this had happened at 5 o'clock...
If it happened 15 minutes before then...
It would have hosed a whole bunch of people. And if it happened in rush hour in the evening, it would have just taken out lanes after lane of people.
It would have been ugly, because it spilled all the way into the second lane.
And so what happened to the... Okay, but it didn't completely block off the road.
Oh, no.
All right, so cars
are... But the road is completely blocked off. I mean, they shut all the access points onto the freeway.
Oh, that's going to be a lot of fun.
It's just a treat. And going out to 217 out in the Tigard area,
yeah.
Oh, what a joy that ride was.
Well, it never is a joy on 217 anyway.
No, and 26 is really no picnic either. I mean, in the evenings, I mean, occasionally the salespeople will do this perverse thing where they'll schedule some, you know, I'm not complaining about it. I mean, if they want me to, you know, I go meet a business or a client or whatever, but they always do it. Look, he's going to, you know, the meeting's at 5:20.
Oh, no problem.
I'm always, you know, okay, well, I'll leave town at 5 o'clock going to goddamn Beaverton. What could possibly be the problem there?
Oh, no problem at all.
5 hours to get anywhere, yeah. So
the freeways work well as long as there aren't any other cars on them.
Yeah,
they all work designed for that.
Exactly. So,
well, if you're leaving from the zoo, it's a great drive up over the hill now.
Oh, God. Yeah, so...
So the other part is the feeding frenzy for media. There's camera trucks all over the place.
I only wish we could contribute to that chaos somehow. I really do.
It's sweet.
I only wish we had some way to go down there and just further snarl things. I regret that we have no news copter.
It'd be a great remote. Come on.
Oh, totally. What can we do that's, like, even more disruptive than a news copter? Because they blow dust and they're loud. What if we have, like, a news, like,
Zamboni.
Zamboni. That's double. And it's funny, too. All right. Thank you. Thank you, my friend.
You bet. Bye-bye.
All right. There you go. That's Ray, I think. All right. There you go. That's Ray, who's there by the landslide. Everybody get out your, so the landslide closed it down. Jokes now. That's it. That's the only time that's going to happen today.
Then a man is killed in an argument over a parking space in an apartment complex in Southeast. Nobody's surprised.
Fantastic.
President Bush scolds the Democrats who are wanting to end the war, and John McCain scolds them, too.
It's a great day to be alive. John McCain?
No, he's not.
And I mean, as tempting as it is to roll my eyes every time Dennis Miller introduces Rudy Giuliani as the next president of the United States, I got no idea who it's going to be. Rudy Giuliani seems crazy, but less so than McCain. So right now, it's just a race to see who's less crazy. All right, well, there you go. A Zamboni. Fantastic. And in Southeast, this is a fantastic news day.
Who would fight over a parking space in an apartment complex in Southeast?
I demand to be allowed to stay in Southeast longer.
I want one of the better parking spaces here. I mean, how much better could it possibly, how much could your life be made better by getting a parking space?
I don't even want to know where in Southeast it was yet, because I'm just going to try to imagine
Southeast
in my head.
Division.
Really? And what?
Let's see. The 12,000 block of Southeast Division. Once the numbers get higher, the more dangerous it gets.
I never understand how to read those numbers, though. So, 12,000.
Well, that's 120th.
Yeah. Not all that bright. So, 120th. Weren't we just talking about that yesterday?
We know things get bad at 80 seconds.
Things get progressively worse as the numbers get higher.
We just had like 9 people yesterday call up and talk about, yeah, the 120th in division. Yep. Life is cheap there.
Obviously. Okay. Don't say Beetlejuice 3 times. We got a break here. We'll come back. Lisa Goddard around the corner. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay there. It's AM 970 Solid State Radio. Show 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Apparently, the landslide just missed an ambulance. Susan Reynolds says it looks bad, and of course, it's on my way home. Not mine, of course. It does back up into downtown. So apparently, if you're anywhere downtown, trying to get anywhere near Beaverton, that's not going to happen. Somebody sent me this great picture. See, now I have to go to the claim jumper tonight. Somebody sent me a picture of their, what is it? This is the cake. Chocolate Motherlode cake. We'll get Lisa Goddard in like 5 seconds. I'll just say this. Rick, please find attached a picture of the chocolate Motherlode cake, which is served in the Claim Jumper restaurant. It really is a cubit in height, roughly the length of a grown man's forearm. That's fantastic. I am so there. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill. CNN radio correspondent, a mother load of news and informational musings, Lisa Goddard. Hi there.
Well, hello.
Hey, do you have the Claim Jumper restaurant where you live?
No, I don't know what that is.
It's a thing. Apparently, I've only ever heard about it. It's the stuff of myth and legend and lore and rumor here on the West Coast. Apparently, it's in California, and they've just expanded it into Portland. I guess there was one in Seattle. The big claim to fame is that they serve I realize now that I'm just becoming the epitome of a hideous, ugly American as I say this. It's a restaurant that doesn't even sound all that appealing. Their food doesn't look, I mean, I'm not saying it's bad. The food doesn't look especially appetizing. I mean, it doesn't look that much different than any other chain restaurant. Except their shtick is that they serve, like, the largest portions on it. Like, so large, like, it can't, nobody can even eat them. It's like, it can't even be consumed. Mm-hmm. And apparently their defining item is this cake. And a slice of which is 1 foot tall.
What?
I swear to God, if you are familiar with sex and advice columnist Dan Savage, he wrote a book called Skipping Toward Gomorrah a couple years ago about the seven deadly sins in America, blah, blah, blah. And for the sin of gluttony, he wrote a whole chapter about going to eat at the Claim Jumper restaurant, where he then ordered said motherlode cake, and he measured it. He brought a ruler, and it is indeed a foot high and about 7 inches across. That's a slice of it.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Right, you know what? That's what we're fighting for right there. That's the democracy.
That's right. If we gave up that cake, the terrorists would win.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That is what F. Scott Fitzgerald in The Great Gatsby referred to as the fresh green breast of the new world right there. The last best hope for Western civilization is to bring this foot-high cake to infidels and savages everywhere, Lisa. All right. That's the opinion of the Rick Emerson Show. You need to concur with
it. In Iraq as well?
What's that?
Can I extrapolate that? Are you starting a movement here? Are you cake for Iraq? Very Marie Antoinette of you?
As Eddie Izzard would say, it's we're offering them cake or death. think about what really, I mean, if I can just speak in a more prosaic level here, think about how less threatening the rest of the world would be if they were morbidly, you know, just like obese and had heart disease like all of the Americans. You know what I mean?
Although seriously, the sugar high has its ups and downs.
I couldn't muster up the physical strength, to rob like an invalid amputee at this point. I'm so out of shape. If the rest of the country, you know, and the rest of the world was exactly the same, think of how peaceful things would be.
Well, I guess you got a point there on how early we would all die as well.
I'm trying to be proactive. I am thinking outside the box for solutions to world violence, and I'm trying to expedite the way to world peace and harmony. I've had also just a lot of caffeine, and so really I'm just babbling a lot of things that don't make any sense.
Yeah, that's for sure. Caffeine is just great.
It really is. Caffeine is without caffeine, life grinds to a halt. I'm just going to take a brief moment because we had talked about John Edwards and his wife the other day to know that Tony Snow apparently got the same thing where he had cancer and had beaten it back down. And as we always say, there is no beating cancer. Cancer just decides, it gets bored and decides to leave you alone for a while, and then it comes back at a time and place of its choosing. Sadly, which is I guess what's happened to Tony Snow, right?
Right. Of course, there are people out there that it doesn't return. That they get it early enough, they get it all, it doesn't return. But for many, many people, it does return in some form. And the deal is that they found something attached to his liver that was cancerous, that needed to be removed. But he's stressing today, through the White House folks are saying that he's told them this, that it actually hadn't spread into his liver, that it was attached to his liver, which is a big difference. And
Right. Hopefully
it hasn't spread inside the liver, because that's when you get stage four. That's when you get really serious concern, is when cancer has spread to a major organ like the liver, especially one for which you can't get a new one, really.
Yeah, it's not really going to it's a bad thing. It seems like there's a bunch of cancer in the news all like the last 3 or 4 days on this program. It just seems like every time we pick up the news, that every other story is about cancer or something.
It is definitely cancer week here in Washington, and it's interesting. I just did a story a couple hours ago about how the folks who want more cancer research, they're savvy. They are using this moment, and they actually brought Sheryl Crow up to the Capitol today to talk about breast cancer. And it's fascinating because today we've got in the Senate possibly a final vote on withdrawal from Iraq. In the House, we've got possibly a final vote on the federal budget, gigantic budget. And the most press I've seen all day was at this event for Sheryl Crow on breast cancer. And, you know, and that's great to talk about breast cancer. And they're smart. They knew that bringing her up here would get the attention, and it sure did.
All right. Well, there you go. So it doesn't really seem like there's anybody. I can't really imagine somebody voting against cancer research, but, you know, what do I know? All right.
This is an exact bill that they're lobbying for, which has to do more with trying to figure out the causes of breast cancer. It's been blocked for 8 years by one unknown senator. I'm trying to find out who it is. has blocked it, and Senator Reid, the majority leader, said today that he doesn't care what he has to do. He's going to...
I seem to remember this being on some episode of The West Wing where you can anonymously block stuff.
Yes. Oh, I'm glad that was on The West Wing. I missed that episode. Yes, any senator can secretly block a bill. How's that for democracy?
Yes.
Jesse, you're so bitter.
I'm just not going to allow myself to dwell on it because it's just going to turn my mood pitch black.
There's nothing I can give you anymore to anger you. I feel like you just expect it now.
No, we're just resigned to expecting the worst from people. You know what I mean? That's kind of our outlook here. We're rarely disappointed on this program. We expect nothing good from anyone. We expect the worst possible behavior from almost all nouns on planet Earth. And so we find that attitude serves us really well. As the Rick Emerson so frequently says, we have two slogans on this program. One of them is, nothing gets better, nothing changes. And the other is, cancer and garbage disposals will kill us all. Moving on, you had mentioned this, I don't, and I know I've asked you variations on the same question, but this, there's this call for U.S. withdrawal from Iraq, this $124 billion war spending bill, and there, Dennis Miller was just talking about this today, actually, that, you know, they're going to put it up, and Bush is going to jog down from the White House and stand there for a second and kind of flex, and then he's going to veto it, and then he's going to go home and put his feet up and watch SportsCenter, and then what's going to happen at that point? And is this all going to have been, I hate to be so cynical about it, but is this all going to have been kind of a wasted effort?
Yeah, once he finishes highlighting his bracket wins.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. I think it's really a game of chess is what's going on at this point. And it is a staring contest. It's a game of chicken. You're going to hear all those cliches again and again by the media, but they're all accurate. The deal is that Congress is trying to build up as much pressure on the White House to negotiate. And you know what the truth is? I think that they aren't, that Iraq is just one of the things they're trying to negotiate on. I think that they want as much leverage as they can get, and they got a significant amount of leverage by having these withdrawal dates in their bill that has all this money in it that the president needs. So what can happen now is behind the scenes, Congress and the White House can agree on some kind of bill, maybe setting benchmarks, for example, in Iraq, saying Iraqis need to do this, 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 and this, you know, but maybe not setting a mandatory date for withdrawal. At the same time, Democrats are going to want the White House to sign off on a couple of other things that are in that bill. I think an easy one is going to be the spending that they put in there, some $20 billion. A lot of it's going to farmers. Also in this bill that you don't hear about much is the minimum wage increase. That was huge news when the House passed it, but that sucker has gotten stuck in congressional gridlock between the two bodies. Sort of, it's a long story, but it's gotten stuck over funding issues. And so I think that it wouldn't surprise me if Democrats try and negotiate for that minimum wage increase as part of this. Who knows what else they'll negotiate, but they will try and get some very set guidelines and requirements for Iraq, and they may try and get some sort of language about beginning a withdrawal vaguely in some timeline. I think that's what's going to happen here. They'll either negotiate, or we're going to go all through this one more time.
Are we ever at a point where we're going to end up in some Mexican standoff between the administration and the Congress about simply just closing the wallet and saying no more? I mean, is that ever going to happen? Are we ever? I ask that only for two reasons. A, because I'm a fan of entropy and discord. I like it when
Jonestown,
people.
Jonestown, right?
I'm just saying that I am a fan of political drama. And secondly, because that's good or bad or whatever anybody thinks about the war, whether we ought to be there, that's the only way that anything's ever going to happen. The only way that any rubber is ever going to meet any road anywhere is when somebody finally closes up the purse and says, that's it, you've had enough, you got to wait for your allowance next time. And, you know, and there's no more money. And that's it. That's the only thing that's ever going to move anything.
Well, and that's why this debate's happening now, is because it's a money bill. They need this money right now. And the Congress attached their requirements to it. You're right. So in a sense, they're already playing that wallet game. They're not absolutely shutting off the piggy bank. But I honestly, Rick, if you were here advising them, perhaps things would be different. But I can't imagine Democrats shutting off the funding altogether for this war.
I don't even know that I would advise them to do that. It seems like anything else is just going to be a middling solution that satisfies no one, frustrates everybody, and just it leaves us no way out of this damn fool insanity.
Well, you know, it's going to be very interesting to watch the president in this next week, because he is really in a corner, not on Iraq, but on a lot of issues. He's got an attorney general with multiple problems. Like, the Justice Department has huge problems. The Justice Department is making FEMA look like it's well-run. And so the president's got a lot going on right now. It's going to be fascinating to see if this president, who is so well-known for taking a stand and not budging, if he does budge or not on this.
All right. Lisa Goddard, enjoy the rest of your day. I'll let you know how the foot-high cake is, by the way.
Yes, please do.
All right. Lisa Goddard on the Hill. Thank you, sister. We'll talk to you soon. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard in Washington. There you go. Fantastic.
Way to cut her off at the end there.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. Nah, you're not going to make me feel bad. It was a fine call. It's fine. I amused her with my anecdotes of foot-high dessert and so forth. It's 503-733-2970. All right. We got the Rick. Let's see. This email says, this morning I had to drive my wife out to the Beaverton area from down. We're talking about that, the landslide on 26. Rick, this morning I had to drive my wife out to the Beaverton area from down on McAdam. Obviously 26 was shut down, so virtually all the traffic was diverted to Burnside, everybody's favorite street, which is always torn up and
on
which things were collapsing yesterday. And wasn't it yesterday that started the whole discussion about Northwest 23rd? Wasn't Burnside covered with rubble yesterday?
It was, yes.
Fantastic. I just love it when everything goes wrong. I really do. There's nothing warms the cockles of my heart more than when everything just starts to go badly. I don't know why.
Just as long as you're not stuck in traffic.
Oh, that's fine. No, look, things go badly for us all the time. I'm not excluding myself from that. I'm just saying it just keeps life interesting. And if I'm stuck in traffic, you know, it's not like I'm suddenly going to be a fan of Portland traffic anyway. Anyway, obviously 26 was shut down, so everything was diverted to Burnside, where we had to, this is this morning in rush hour traffic, where we had to drive over the hill on a one-lane road to go to Beaverton. Took us over an hour, he said. There didn't seem to be any news reports on the radio, but after half an hour, I realized there might be another station beside yours, so I tuned into a news station. They said people were trapped in the tunnel for quite a long time, and they were even wondering whether or not to get a porta potty in the tunnel. Yeah.
That sucks.
Can you imagine, he says, being stuck in the tunnel where you don't really get radio or cell phone reception? I think they ended up having to get back out of the tunnel, or having to back out of the tunnel. Is that true?
That seems like a pretty coordinated effort.
Oh, this is fantastic. I hope there's video of this whole thing. I hope there's video. I hope it just ends in cannibalism and looting. Anyway, on the way back, I took 26, and there were news crews like flies on crap watching the backhoes pick up the mess. It's amazing that no cars got hit, considering what it looked like. Well, yeah, that's why we can make fun, because, see, no one died. No one died. And so, therefore, it is something we... Apparently, it just missed an ambulance. Then let me ask you this. Do you ever wonder about ambulances in New York City, how they get anywhere? Have you ever driven in that city? It's so freaking congested. There's no getting anywhere on the road in New York. It's not like I'm some New York expert, but I've been there, you know, 5-6 times. I wonder about New York. If you call an ambulance in New York, do you just sort of take it as read that it's not going to get to your house till the next day? It's going to show up at your tenement like 36 hours later. It's going to be another day before they get your ass to the house. You'll be dead. Remind me to ask Steve Kastenbaum about that. Ambulances in New York can't possibly save anybody at all. All right. That's a bad way to die. You want to talk about bad ways to die? A bad way to die is just in the back of an ambulance stuck in traffic because some idiot up ahead doesn't know how to merge correctly. That's a poor way to end your life. All right, that's probably how I'll go. It's 503-733-2970. All right, should we take a break here?
Actually, yeah, we probably should.
All right. We'll take a break. It's 503-733-2970. Tim Riley around the corner with the AM 970 Noon News Hour. Later on, Steve Kastenbaum, Lisa Goddard. We'll talk about the Faux Film Festival, Top 5, and so forth. You stay here, Sweetest, on the Rick Emerson Show.